Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Matthew. From chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 12. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1376. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. God will guide us toward Jesus. God used a star in the sky to guide the wise men from the east to where Jesus, the King of the Jews, had been born. Wise men, the Greek word is magi from the east. During the Middle Ages, legend developed that there were kings, that there were three in number, and that their names were Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. Biblically, we don't have many facts about these men. We're not told their number, their names, their means of transportation to Palestine, or even their homeland. What we do know about Magi in general is they first appeared in history in the 7th century before Christ as a tribe within the Median nation of Mesopotamia. The name Magi came to refer to the priesthood. They were skilled in astronomy, astrology, and interpreting dreams. Our words magic and magician are derived from magi. Their knowledge of science and agriculture, mathematics, history, and astrology led them to become the most powerful group of religious and political advisors in the Medo-Persian Empire and then later the Babylonian Empire. It is the magi in Babylon which may have given them their connection with the God-given wisdom of the Jews. The Jewish prophet Daniel, who was exiled in Babylon in 586 years before Christ was born, he was given by the Lord the interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream when no one else could interpret it. Well, as a result, Daniel was appointed as ruler of the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. No doubt the Magi learned much from Daniel about the one true God, the God of Israel, about his will and his plan for his people through the coming glorious king. After the exile, many Jews remained in Babylon, and it's likely that the Jewish messianic influence remained strong in that region. Both during the Greek and the Roman empires, the Magi's power and influence continued in the eastern provinces. So one evening, a bright light, a brilliant star in the sky, caught the attention of some Magi. Magi believed that a star could be the counterpart or an angel of a great man. Using scripture and the heavenly skies, God guided the Magi to the one born King of the Jews. In the November-December 2013 issue of The Interpreter, a United Methodist magazine, Heather Hahn writes the article, "What Was the Star of Bethlehem?" Nick Strobel is the planetarium director and a physical science professor at Bakersfield College in Central California. As an astronomer and a Christian, he has an affinity with the Bible's most famous stargazers. Strobel identifies four natural phenomena that some astronomers think may explain the sighting. One possibility is a nova, which is a dying star. It gathers up pressure and then it explodes, displaying brightness for a few days and then fades to invisible over a few months. But a nova would not have invisibly moved toward Bethlehem, so that seems unlikely to Strobel. A second possibility is a comet. Comets were thought to be heralds of important events, but there were none that were recorded in Jesus' time frame. A third possibility is a planetary conjunction where two or more planets appear very close together. Well, during this time, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars formed a near conjunction, which happens every 800 years. A fourth possibility, and this is the one that Strobel thinks is the most likely, Jupiter's retrograde motion. It's considered to be in the time frame of Jesus' birth, and Jupiter, instead of wandering eastward, as planets typically appear to do, it seemed to stop and then go backward among the stars in what astronomers call a retrograde motion. Strobel compared it to if you have two vehicles and one car accelerates to pass the other one, well, the car, that slower vehicle, appears to stand still and then even to recede. So as Earth passed Jupiter, Jupiter appeared to be stationary for about a week, perfect for hovering in place over a momentous birth. And then Strobel, he notes that while it's fun to speculate about the nature of the star, it does not matter to his faith. He adds, we love a night sky, and we search for a place or a person where heaven and earth meet, and we find that in the person of Jesus. Psalm 147 proclaims, God counts the number of the stars, and God calls them all by name. So God, who knows all the names of the planets and the stars and the night sky, he gave the wise men a glimmer of God's glory to guide them to Jesus, the long-awaited King and Savior. Jerusalem would have been considered the capital or center of the Jewish people. Jerusalem was where their temple was built, and this was their place of worship to their living God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Perhaps these noble dignitaries had escorts or guards. It would seem that as soon as this traveling caravan entered Jerusalem, they began to ask the guards at the gates and the people on the street, where is your newborn king? Well, word of their arrival and their question is taken to King Herod. Often kings have fought battles to become king, and they're suspicious of anyone overtaking their kingdom. Well, King Herod the Great, he was suspicious and paranoid, even among his own family. Suspected news of a new king was troubling. Suspicious yet savvy, Herod was half Jew and a friend of the Romans. He gathered the Jewish chief priests and scribes together. Herod knew that the ancient prophets had written of a Messiah, a Christ, a Savior who was to be born. So Herod asked them, where is the Christ to be born? And the priests and the scribes said, in Bethlehem of Judea. They quote the writing of the prophet Micah, who promised a ruler who would come out of the small tribe of Judah, which was the tribe of King David. Herod secretly called the wise men. He asked them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you find him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Perhaps the star had disappeared from their vision for a time. However, at just the moment they needed it, behold, the star went before them until it stood over Jesus. In the upper room reading for Friday, December the 26th, 2025, Danielle Pinnock of Jamaica wrote of God's glimmer. She wrote, I recently learned about glimmers, which are small moments in the day that make us feel joy, peace, and gratitude. The more we train our brains to be on the lookout for these kinds of moments, the more they seem to happen. The wise men were attuned to watching for glimmers of starry light and rejoiced when they saw it. The scripture in Numbers 24:17 says, a star shall rise out of Jacob, which is Israel, a royal scepter. So we assume that the star first appeared to the wise men on the night of the dear Savior's birth. It's taken a while to travel. Mary and her young child are no longer in a stable or a cave with animals. They're in a house. When the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men had come to worship Jesus. They bowed down, acknowledging the worthiness and the glory of this one born. A part of their worship included opening their treasures and presenting gifts to Jesus. The gifts were all fitting a king. The gifts are also spiritually significant, as they were prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. This morning on one of our flower stands, we have our beautiful, precious display representing the original gifts of Christmas. They're shared from Barbara to her cousin Yvonne to us. Gold. The gold in our hand-blown glass globe is real. 23-karat gold. If we gently shake the globe, it will float like snowflakes. And then frankincense is a resin from the dried sap of the Bonswala tree, a tree that's grown on the craggy slopes of the Arabian Sea for thousands of years. And frankincense has an aromatic fragrance promoting good health and spiritual well-being. In ancient times, frankincense and gold were equally precious. And then myrrh is also a resin used in incense, but with a bitter fragrance. The sap from the tree in Arabia is first oily, but as it drops onto wooden squares or stones on which it is collected, it hardens. Incense was used in worship, but also in burial. It's fitting for incense to be given for our King, who will give his life for us. We might proclaim this scene is divinely perfect. However, the narrative changes to include warnings and mystery and intrigue. After all, God is dealing with disobedient beings. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, the wise men departed for their own country another way. God has used scripture, a star, scribes, and now a dream to guide the wise men to Jesus and then to protect Jesus. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When Herod saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry. He went forth with a decree to put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and the surrounding districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he determined from the wise men. Jesus is safe in Egypt. He will remain in Egypt until once again the angel of the Lord will come to Joseph in a dream and tell him that it's safe to return to Israel. Yet hundreds, maybe thousands, of young baby boys were killed because of a brutal king trying to protect his kingdom. The word of God in scripture and in the lives of people confirm that God has a plan and that God's plan or God's ultimate will happens. Yet along the way and intertwined is God's permissible will, is a sovereign God that has allowed for humans to make choices which bring consequences. The temptation of evil in this world and the decisions of created being means that being led to Jesus and following Jesus will sometimes mean that we travel unexpected paths. We can be assured, however, that God will guide us toward Jesus and the goodness of God. God will guide us with the Bible. God may use nature. God will certainly use wise, godly counsel, sometimes circumstances, and possibly dreams or intense desires of God's Holy Spirit. Let us consider again the words of Nick Strobel. We have a love of the night sky, and we search for a place or a person where heaven and earth meet. We find that in the person of Jesus. As we draw close to Jesus, let us worship him. Let us give him our treasures. Maybe it's our presence. Maybe it's our time, our talents, our skills, our gifts, our obedience, our worship, and our love. Let us pray. Divine God, guide us to your love, light, and life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, open our eyes each day for glimmers of joy, peace, and gratitude. Amen.